You got a problem?
No.
You have to say,
I
got a problem, for you to mend the problem. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Got a problem? You got to say you got a problem before you can mend it. And that's true. That's true. How many people in this world do you know who have problems? How many people in this world do you know who have hang-ups and who have things that bug them and disturb them and just run them right off the highway, the highway of life? Now, if all these people would name their problems, oh, they would have quite a time. Now, I have another recommendation. I recommend that if we eat the right foods, if we do the right things, if we speak the right words, if we drink the right liquids, if we have the right company, if we live in the right attitude toward life, what happens to us? What happens to us is that we don't have problems.
Yeah.
When you go around saying, I like me, you don't have problems. And you say, well, I got problems, and I say I like me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't say you like me to the exclusion of saying you got a problem. If you're saying I like me, you can't say I got a problem. And if you're saying I like me, you'll never have a problem because you won't be able to say it, and you won't be able to bring it into your life by announcing it, by listening. You say, well, Herb, that's just a lot of foolishness. Life isn't that way. People aren't that way, and things just don't go that way. Problems come and go, and people are nice and not nice and so on. Yeah, see, what did you just say? You said people are nice and people are not nice. Well, now, whoever gave you permission to be not nice? Hmm? Whoever gave you permission to be not nice? Only yourself, your stinking self. You want to be ill. You want to be unhappy. You want to have problems in your life. And so you call things bad. If the creator of the universe, according to the Bible, can say he created everything and said it was good and very good, where are we with authority to say it's not good? Now, we may look at some things and we may think that they're not at their ultimate, at their peak of perfection, but they're certainly good. Now, how can anything in life ever be good if we don't call it good? Because if we call it not good, we'll be looking for its flaws. We'll be looking for its problems. And the problems are not there, but we'll put them there. We'll put them there. I say, Anita, isn't this a lovely day? And Anita says, well, it looks like rain. Isn't that great? Now, Anita says, well, no, because when it rains, I can't go out and use the mower. Well, then use something else.
Yeah.
Do something else. Go polish your toenails or something. You know? If you can't do one thing, you do another. You don't say it's bad. You don't say anything is bad because you don't dare. Because you do not dare to say anything is contrary to what it is created as. Now, did God create the earth and all that jazz? Yeah, we say that. And is God good? Yeah. Did God make any mistakes? Nope. Okay, now, here we are using what God has created and being God inside of us and all that sort of good stuff too. But here we are using everything that's created good. Now, if you take a hammer and hit your finger with the hammer, you say, ouch, that hurts, that's bad. Oh my God, that's terrible. Is that what the hammer is for?
No.
Yes, it is. The hammer is for hitting your fingernail if you want. The hammer is for doing anything you want to do. Break windows with it, pound nails with it, doing this, and nothing's bad. If you're trying to knock down an old house and you got to take the old windows out and got to break them and knock them down, you don't think that the hammer is bad because it's breaking window. It's all for whatever purpose you give it. Now, if you say, I'm not going to break the window. I'm going to leave it whole. I'm going to put it in the trash hole, you know. And I'm just going to take the nails out along the side of the window and just take it out, and I'm going to put it in the trash, and away she goes. And then what happens? you don't have to pick up glass. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if you break your window, then you got to pick up all the broken glass because you can't go barefoot there. Well, now who's going barefoot around? Well, everybody. You're going to put in a new window, that's going to be the side of your house. And you're going to go to the side of the house, and you're going to knock on the window, and your mom's going to come to the window, and you're going to say, Mom, she's going to open the window, and you're standing there barefoot where the glass had been broken. You're going to say, Mom, I'd like a cup of tea. And Mom says, you drink it inside here a lot better. No, no, I want to sit there under the mulberry bush and, you know, under the maple tree and drink it. Oh, that sounds fun. I'll bring some out for both of us. And she says, oh, Mom, you're the greatest. And I'll bring some cookies, too. And, oh, Mom, that's wonderful. And bring some along for Rex, too. You know, bring some puppy cookies along, too. Oh, okay, I will. Now, you see, all this is because you didn't break the glass in the window, but you took the nails out and you took the window out and put it in the trash. Now, if you broke the glass, then are you ever going to get up all those broken splinters down there? Well, you can. You can. You can dig it in the ground, or you can vacuum it up, or you can do whatever, or you can be untouched as you go through the world. How do these stupid, crazy people lay on a bed of nails, you know, walk on fire and lay on a bed of nails? How do they do it? Well, because they don't call it a bed of nails and they don't call it fire. They call it cool, wet moss, and they call it their sleep-easy mattress, you know. It's whatever they choose. Now, we name it, we claim it, we experience it, and that's what it is. Whatever it is that we want, that's what we do, and that's what we have. Now, do you have a problem? Well, if you have a problem, you got a problem. And how do you make not a problem? I like me. Is there a place in your I like me culture or cult for a problem to exist? Not really. Problems only exist when you empower them to exist and when you give them the right to exist and say that there are problems. Now, Anita was working in my yard yesterday and she was laying down the job. And I went back and I was watering some trees and she was laying there. And I thought to myself, who does she think she's kidding? She's just laying down, relaxing. Well, she was laying down working next to her equipment. She was working on her weed whacker and she was doing tightening bolts and doing different things. And she says, Herb, where are your screwdrivers? You know? And so, to all appearances, she looked like she was laying down the job, you know, and just an excuse for not doing the work. But I knew better, and I didn't even think of that at the time. I only thought it now when I'm making the illustration. But is that what Anita does? Does Anita lay down on the job? Never. Unless it's a job testing mattresses, you know. then she's very good at that. She practices that every night when she goes home. Now, and what does Ingeborg do? Does Ingeborg go around here picking up sticks around the property? Or does she go around the house? You know, Ingeborg, this is what I do in my house. I have a little vacuum cleaner and a big vacuum cleaner. And I have me. And so as I walk through my house and I see where Rex has come in and he brought the outside in with him, you know, and a little leaf here, a little stick there, I bend over and I pick it up and I pick it up and I bend over. And you know, I don't feel bad by doing that. Rex is making me exercise on that bending bed, you know. And really, it's very good for me. Because I feel three times as good when I bend down as when I stand up. And when I stand up, I feel fantastic, you know, just like I've been exercising. And then I go out on the path, and on the path are weeds sometimes growing along. And just after it rains, or a day or so after it rains, the ground is still nice and moist. And I reach down with my hands and I wrap it around the weed and pull them out and pull them out and throw them out to the side, pull them out. And I do maybe about a half mile of path pulling out weeds, just bending over, standing up. And I do not feel one little bit out of sorts for doing it. And that's not what my work is. That's not what my life is, bending down, picking up weeds and grass. But because I like me, everything I do likes me. I do not get a sore back doing anything because I use good judgment in what I do and I also love what I do. And I This morning I rearranged the house again, and Ellen is laughing, but she doesn't realize. I took out the shelf on my planter window so that my tall plants could stand in there, which is what I should have done a long time ago. I mean, I only had it there for 10 or 12 years now, you know. And so I took off the shelf, and I got almost all my plants to fit on there.
Nice.
And so there's only one or two that there's just too much plant base in there. And they look real good. And so when I water, I just go, shit, in one little area, you know. And excess water just rolls out on the bottom of the window, so it's no problem. And poof, everything I do is fun. Everything I do is wonderful, and everything I do is I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And then I was having a dream about a canvas of some sort. It was a folded canvas, and it had paintings on it and so forth. And the canvas was laying down, big one, you know, maybe about 30 feet by 50 feet, a big thing. And so I looked over there, and there was a little baby playing on the canvas. And he was playing on the canvas. He was crawling in between the canvas and out. And then I turned around to do something else. And when I turned back, some crane had pulled the canvas up, and the baby slid down to the bottom of the slot in the canvas. And I thought, what am I going to do? You know, he must get out of there. And I thought, there's nobody around operating the crane. There's no people around. There's nobody. Well, I guess the only thing to do is just say, he's not in there. And so I went down to the bottom of the canvas where he was supposed to be, and I bumped the canvas a little bit, and it was just smooth and flat. He wasn't in there. I thought he was, but he wasn't. But you see, I created him out of there because I didn't want to be bothered. And then I went back to sleep. But the thing is, as long as I created him as a problem there and me worrying about him and thinking, how can I get him out and stuff, and not having any suitable solution, I just created him not being there in the first place. Yeah. And I should have done that with all the problems of my life, with all the concerns in my life. Just created not being there in the first place by saying, I like me. Mm. And when you like yourself, you don't create problems for yourself. You create happiness for yourself. You create joy for yourself. You create peace for yourself. You create goodness for yourself. And life is wonderful. But if you're going to call things problems, they're problems. If you're going to call them solutions, they're solutions. That meant you had a problem. But if you're just going to say, I like me, then everything goes along smooth sailing. Everything is wonderful. You don't get a crick in your back because you're bending. Hey, what about these people who work in the rice fields and who work and bending all day long? My goodness sakes, you think they would be hurting and not. And they don't. They go and play soccer at night, you know. And they go do all sorts of things, you know. What did you do when you were a kid? I know when I was working for my dad in construction, and I was 14, 15 years old, maybe 16, and doing brickwork and carrying, and you know, I was a skinny kid. And when I come home, I jump in the shower, have supper, go out dancing. We go out and polka. We go out and do all sorts of fantastic dances for the 40s and 50s, you know. And we just had a lot of fun. And every night after work, we'd come home, maybe 8, 10, 11 o'clock, maybe 12. And then we'd get a few hours sleep and up in the morning and out on the job. And we were fresh and full of vinegar. And no one said, how come you're so tired? We weren't tired because we were being ourselves and having fun. We were saying, I like me. And we did. And do you think we would ever be so stupid as to tell my dad, for instance, I was out too late last night and I'm tired? You know what he'd say?
Stay home.
No. He'd say, get yourself a job someplace else. I don't need people who have not the energy to do that. I don't care what you do, but you, when you come to work for me, that's your best part of your day. Whatever you do in the other parts of the day, that's your business, but when you come to work for me, you're full of vinegar, or else you don't work for me. And as it is, we are kids, and we're being paid more than any other kid in the countryside there, because it's our dad and we're working for him. And we're not getting full journeyman's salary or laborer salary, but we're getting maybe half. And that half was more than anybody else was earning our age. And we loved, and we wanted that money. We wanted to keep it. We needed to go dancing. We had to pay our way. But you see, when you say, I like me, you can do anything. And you can accomplish anything. And don't ever forget, if you ever have a baby in a bag, that's the point. Get them out. Mm-hmm. Mentally, physically, however you do it. Because that's not where he belongs. He belongs in your heart and in your love. And that's where you belong. In your heart and your love. And you say, I like me, I like me, I like me. And have a good day and know I love you, I love you, I love you.